So I think what we can do is have the sermonette time for the news analysis when appropriate. Okay, we're all suffering from a little bit of cold over here. This cold seems to kind of come and go all the time. It doesn't seem to be certainly consistent. It's consistently coming back all the time. But there has been a fair amount going on in the news. I suppose the main thing that's going on at this present time is the condition of the Pope. He's had a tracheotomy and has had to have a tube inserted into his trachea. And apparently it says, this is from yesterday, it says the Pope has emergency operation to ease the breathing after a relapse. The Pope had emergency surgery last night to help his breathing after he suffered a relapse in his recovery of influenza, which I think most of us have been suffering from time to time. But it is important that we keep an eye on this situation, because obviously the Vatican is going to play a key and a leading role within the, not just the Catholic Church, but in the world as a whole through the European Union. And it is interesting that just a few days before, the Pope had actually published a new book. This was on the 23rd, I'm not sure what day that was, let's see, it's 24th or 25th, so that'll be Wednesday or Thursday. It says, the Pope published a new book yesterday strongly attacking the negative society of the West, calling it a godless anti-gospel and new totalitarianism masquerading as democracy. The thing is, he's probably dead right. He is dead right. And there's a moral leadership there that really we don't find within the actual governments themselves. And it's this moral leadership that I think that people are going to be looking to in the future. It says, entitled Memory and Identity, Conversations Between Millenniums, John Paul II's fifth book, printed first in Italian, blames the moral permissiveness of the West for undermining society with divorce, free love, abortion, euthanasia, and genetic manipulation. Its main focus is the risks democracies pose to the law of God. La Repubblica, the Italian daily, which was shown advance excerpts, wrote yesterday, the nihilism of the West is disturbing. There's no law. Eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die. The nihilism of the West is disturbing to the Pope. His claim is that democratic parliaments are the carriers. They're the problems. Let's get rid of democratic parliaments, and then you can get something which is more to the Catholic ideal. Driven by powerful economic forces, the Pope claims, the anti-gospel is spreading the idea that one must live life as if God does not exist. And again, he's right, dead right. Now, you know, we are morally corrupt within our societies, and he can see, well, the Catholic Church can certainly see that. He says, by contrast, Eastern Europe, the Polish Pope said, had reached a spiritual maturity for which certain important values are less devalued than in the West. And it is interesting that when you look at the way in which the eastern side of the European Union, or the Europe as a whole, is coming together, it appears that that is where this focus is going to be coming from. Because the West is the same as America. And people look at the European Union and they look purely at the Western Union. And it's not. It's also the Eastern as well. And the Eastern is becoming more and more prominent. It says, he adds, the main threat which Central Europe finds itself facing is that of falling without criticism under the influence of the negative culture so widespread in the West. Now, when we realise that, well, let's turn over to Revelation 17. Just remind ourselves what it says here in Revelation 17. It says in verse 1, it says, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying to me, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Many waters, and the waters, it says verse 15, are the peoples. It's clearly identified what he's talking about. So this whore, and a woman is identified as a church. It is a church sitting upon many people. It is a great populous church with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. So it gets involved with governments. And notice what the Pope actually said. It says, the democratic parliaments are the carriers. He says, look, we've got to do something about these democratic parliaments, giving the people what they want to try and get re-elected. Well, you see, that's the inference from there. To get a moral consistency, there's going to have to be something that stops this democratic process. Again, I'm reading between the lines, obviously. And the inhabitants of the, it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of a fornication. And he saw this woman that in fact was actually riding the beast. And if you go down, skip down to verse 8, it says, the beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And it says, verse 9, and here is the mind that has wisdom. And it says, the seven heads are seven mountains, seven governments on which the woman sits. There are seven kings, five of the fallen, seven kings over those seven mountains. So five are fallen, that was with Napoleon. When this was revealed to Mr. Armstrong, it was Napoleon, five had fallen. It says, one is, there's a Hitler Mussolini, and one, and the other is not yet come. And when it comes, it'll continue, it continues a short space. So looking for that final resurrected Holy Roman Empire. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. That's the eighth Babylonian system, going back to Daniel. You've got the seven systems, the Babylon, four Medes and Persians, and you're going then into Greece, and then into Rome, and then you've got seven there, and then the eighth is the Holy Roman Empire. So you've got he is the eighth, and is of the seven. He's of the seven that preceded him. He's part of Babylon. It's the Babylonish system, and it goes into perdition. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings that have not received kingdom as yet. So we're looking for that. That's what we're waiting for at the moment. And it's what this woman is going to be riding at the very end time. But receives power as kings 1 hour with the beast, a very short time, right at the very end. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. And they'll make war with the lamb. So it'll go right through to the end time. But notice what it does say in verse... verse 16, it says, the ten horns which you saw, these are the ten nations now in Europe, or ten kings. It doesn't say nations, it says kings or kingdoms or areas or whatever. It says, the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So there's going to be a contention with this, as I brought out before, with this woman, with this church. As I brought out before, it's the relationship of a man and a whore. Not a man and his wife. There's not love there. It's a political relationship that this is going to be. And it goes into the next chapter, talking about how Babylon is fallen, and it says you make sure that you don't become part of her. It says verse 4, come out of her, my people, that you're not partakers of her sin and not receive of her plagues. In other words, get away from it. When that actual time comes, those that are still in Europe need to get away, get out of Europe. For her sins have reached the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities, and reward her even as she rewarded you, double to her, double according to her works. In the cup that she's filled to her double. And it goes on about her plagues in verse 8, in one day, death and mourning and famine, which will be utterly destroyed with fire. And it talks about how people in verse 10, standing far off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas for that great city Babylon. So this, when it says that the ten horns that you saw, the beast, shall hate the whore, in verse 16 of the preceding chapter, it appears that probably, and this is just a thought, it's probably just after Armageddon, after the European Union then goes down on the behest of the Pope to say we must fight the Antichrist, or whatever it is that he says, and they will in fact find themselves utterly destroyed, and then they'll realize that they've been deceived to a large degree. By this voice that is from this church. But there's more to it than that. When you look at what's happening in the Catholic world, what in fact is coming out of the Catholicism and religion generally is that the religious fervour is tending to be coming from not only the Eastern side, which it certainly is, which is being brought out here in this article, it also is coming from the African area and the Third World areas as well. In another article here, this is February the 1st, it says the number of Catholics is close to 1.1 billion. It says the number of Roman Catholics in the world rose to 1.086 billion. That's 1,086 million. In 2003, from 1.071 billion the previous year, and is growing fastest in Africa, with a 4.5% increase there, according to Vatican statistics released yesterday. has posted a 2.2% rise. Asia posted a 2.2% rise. The increase in both Africa and Asia exceeded overall population growth. So it's more than just population growth that is fueling this. There's a great deal more that is going on. And as we look at the condition of the Pope's health, we need to be aware where the next Pope could come from and the significance that there might be within that. There's an article here from today's paper where it says the center of Christianity is moves to Africa. And into Africa, it says, if a clergyman's success is measured by the size of his flock, then Africa's priests stand to inherit the earth. Their congregations are growing faster than any since the earliest years of Christianity. The pews, and why that they mean the earliest years of Christianity back in the Middle Ages. The pews of Africa's churches now hold 390 million worshippers, more than three times the total of 35 years ago. Over the next two decades, Africa's congregation is likely to grow by another 200 million, causing a huge shift in the character of the Christian faith. It's becoming an African religion. Now that is very, very significant. Its heartland will move decisively southward, away from the empty churches of Europe and into the developing world. Now, so what you're looking at within Europe is you're looking at, it is the Eastern influence that is in fact having a great control, and certainly the Pope is pointing people in that direction, and that's where the moral stand is coming from. And at the same time, we're looking from this African influence as well. As I've mentioned before, there's this Cardinal of Onitsha, who is certainly in the running as to be the next Pope. He will be, if he is, what they term as the first black Pope. He's not, because Nimrod was black, and they don't go that far back. But Arinze, Cardinal Arinze of Onitsha, I believe his name is. I believe that's what his name is. We have travelled through West Africa, in Nigeria, and Onitsha, as I've said before, is an absolute rundown area, and it's also the centre of not just Catholicism, but it seems to be the centre of charismatic Catholicism. In other words, the kind of thing that you see in the charismatic churches in the West here are in the Catholic area as well when you go into Onitsha. And whether in fact this particular Archbishop is part and parcel of this movement, I'm not sure. But it is very interesting, it's very important that we keep an eye on that situation. Now, when we look at the West and why the Pope is saying the things that he's doing, or actually is saying, we can see the morality within the newspapers that in fact is just going downhill. It says civil partnership rights for same-sex couples. It says same-sex couples will be able to register as civil partners for the first time just before Christmas, the government announced yesterday. This was last Tuesday. Couples will be able to give the necessary 15 days notice of their intentions from the 5th of December, allowing the first civil partnership to be registered on December the 21st. So that's the homosexuality. It gets another sanction. Another one, lawlords reject a return of corporal punishment. An attempt to bring back corporal punishment in independent schools was rejected by the lords yesterday. Teachers and parents of children at four Christian schools claimed at a hearing before the House of Lords in December that a ban on corporal punishment infringed their human rights. And it says the quote from the Lord Nicholas said that Parliament was bound to respect the claimant's beliefs in this regard, but was entitled to decide that the manifestation of these beliefs in practice was not in the best interest of children. So again, it shows that the indication is the courts, and specifically the government, is making the decisions regarding our children. The shift is away from the family, it is into the state, it is into the sanction, things that are sanctioned by the state. And again, along this area, there's this great controversy over here regarding Anglicanism. It says gay priest lovers to get pensions. The Church of England is to grant partners of a homosexual clergy who have registered under the government's new civil partnership scheme the same pensions right as clergy spouses. They've got to do that because of the legislation. So, you know, you get into a complete ridiculous situation. And this is morality losing its way. Let me give you another one. It says, zoo defends bid to mate gay penguins. 14th of this month, it says the director of a German zoo has defended her campaign to mate a group of homosexual male penguins with females, arguing that it's the only way to preserve a dying breed from extinction. She said that she had been inundated with criticism by the gay lobby after making public her plan, and was simply trying to help save a threatened species of the Humboldt penguin, a bird whose homosexual tendencies are well known to the zoologists. Basically, the homosexual tendencies are that they will go ahead and they will attempt to go ahead and get stones and sit on stones and go ahead and act as females as far as the stones are concerned, and laying eggs. And that is only happens when there are no females around. That's what it is. And it is, again, this gay, it's not gay at all, a sad movement, is trying to destroy it, trying to destroy her actions. Teachers support advice on abortions. 2 out of 3 secondary teachers believe sex education should contain advice for people on how to obtain an abortion, according to a survey published today. And it goes on, there's many others. There's another one, how Labour made 1,000 new crimes. Again, you've got to have a law for virtually everything. We're moving further towards the European concept, where, again, it is not the civil liberties. In other words, you're able to do whatever you like, and the law doesn't preclude you from doing it. But the way the Roman law works is you're not allowed to do anything unless the law says you can. That's the distinct difference. And the people that are listening to me in America need to understand this. They need to understand that the European legislation is a Roman system. It's coming direct from ancient Rome. And Britain is being forced to comply with this system. And these 1,000 new crimes, meddling with a vehicle clamp, £1,000 fine, obstructing a fire hydrant, £500 fine, well, we've had that in the States as well, attending a woman in childbirth if you're not a doctor or midwife, £2,500 fine, devising a tobacco advert which is published, 2 years jail, staging a church hall concert without a license, £20,000 fine, and 6 months jail, and on it goes. And yet at the same time, you're looking at Europe as it stands at the moment, and you're looking at talk not being cheap. It says, now that the European Union, this is from the 18th February, it's Friday, February 18th, now the European Union boasts 20 official languages, the resulting cacophony sounds something like the Tower of Babel, which is quite interesting, but with simultaneous interpretation. Among the many unforeseen consequences of the explosive growth of the Union from 15 to 25 countries last May, rising to 27 when Romania and Bulgaria join us in a couple of years, are an urgent demand for Latvian speakers in Luton and a dire shortage of Maltese interpreters. So it's going on about the price of these interpreters, but it certainly is. It shows the kind of the way in which the society has lost its way and what the Pope is actually talking about. And when certain things start to happen, then we will see the need for a moral focus. And it is this moral focus that we need to be aware of that will come from the Catholic Church. Now, if we look at what in fact is happening over here, going along those lines, there's something which is currently in the news, is house arrest without trial. And it says, house arrest without trial is to be rushed through in days. The bill allow British and foreign terrorist suspects to be detained without trial under house arrest is to be rushed through the Commons and the Lords within a fortnight, the government announced yesterday. Now again, all of you in America need to understand, we don't have a constitution over here. There is no constitution. The constitution is upon case law going back to the Magna Carta and, you know, and beyond that, right back to Roman law in that sense, and it's the case law that people are looking at. Whereas in the United States, it is enshrined in the constitution. The actual power was given from the people to the Congress to make laws, but the First Amendment stops them from making any law that interferes with their freedom of speech, interferes with their religious beliefs, and there are so many others, and also about not being tried, not having being incarcerated without a fair and honest trial. That's actually written into the constitution of the states. We don't have any such thing over here. And yet this, as it says, Clark is using terror threat to justify ending 800 years of legal history. Says Charles Clark, yesterday published Home Office papers detailing the continuing terrorist threat to Britain to justify his decision to take powers that no minister has possessed in peacetime. Now, it's interesting that in an article by Mr. Blair in the Telegraph, he says that there's no greater civil liberty than to live free from a terrorist attack. And he says here, and it's interesting his quote, he quotes, he says, "These are extraordinary times which call for the introduction of extraordinary measures." Now, do you know where that comes from? It comes from a quotation by Winston Churchill, who said something very, very similar. And also, it's interesting, I've heard of a church who were formerly part of Worldwide, who have also given that exact same phrase, that extraordinary times call for extraordinary government. And we are moving in that direction, in a totalitarian direction. And yet at the same time, right underneath, we've got Boris Johnson making a comment, "We all agree with the Prime Minister that we face a new and sinister peril in Al-Qaeda. It's worth pointing out that many British lives were lost every year in the 80s and 90s to Irish Republican terror, far more than have been lost since 2001 in the operatives of Al-Qaeda. And it is more than 30 years since we last tried interning IRA suspects." But the problem is, as far as we knew at that time, when you were looking at the threat from the IRA, they didn't have nuclear weapons, and they were not suicide bombers with those weapons. Let's just remind ourselves, just in closing then, over in Daniel chapter 11, because we are moving into a certain era at this particular point. We're looking at the news today, and we're looking at the news in a certain context. Because in Daniel chapter 11, verse 41, it says, "And he will enter into the glorious land, and many countries will be overthrown, but these will escape out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he will stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape." So here is the beast power moving down into the Middle East at the time when the church is going to have to flee all at this particular time. "But he'll have power over the treasures of gold and silver and all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, and therefore he will go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many." And the indication is that at this point there will be a destruction within Israel, within Ephraim and Manasseh. "And he will plant the tabernacle in his palace between the two seas," that's between the Dead Sea and also the Mediterranean, "and the glorious holy mountain, which is Jerusalem. Yet it will come to his end, and none shall help him. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that's found written in the book." It is a time of trouble so great that it has never been a time like it. And it's all happening at this particular juncture. Something is going to cause those 10 kings to give their power to the beast. Something is going to, some kind of cataclysm or some description is going to trigger this. There's not going to be any other way that they can foresee being able to handle it. And we need to keep our eyes open on this. And we do know that when we're looking at the religious leadership that will be there, the moral leadership will be coming from the Catholic Church within it. It will be coming from a individual working miracles. And certainly, we need to be aware that, again, you're looking at, within Africa, you're looking at certain things that, I mean, it is the heartland. This particular area, Onitsha, is an area which is the heartland of the old Benin Empire. And the Benin Empire was the African Juju Empire. It just was. It's the heartland of Satan, absolute heartland of Satan. You know, Onitsha and Benin are just a few miles apart. So, you know, it's a few miles, it's maybe 100 miles apart, but they're relatively close together. And we need to be aware and certainly watch very carefully who this next pope is going to be, and where, and remember that the shift and the emphasis of the Catholic Church is moving south. It's moving down into that area of Africa. So don't be surprised if we do in fact end up with a black pope. It won't be the first one, it'll be the second one, because Nimrod also was black.